Kislev is well underway, and Hanukkah is approaching closer every single day. I figured, chaval, if we don't touch on some of the Rambans. Last year we didn't, because over Hanukkah we don't have a Ramban Chavura, and this year also, we're not going to have a Ramban Chavura on Hanukkah. So I figured, in preparation for Hanukkah, we might as well try to touch on, I put the only two Ramanov in the Torah, where he discusses Hanukkah, on the sheets. We'll try to at least do the first one. Maybe if we have time. No, I mean we won't have time. But we'll try to push through for two of them. We'll try to get both Rambans in if we can. Okay, the first Ramban, so again, we won't be doing Parshas Vayeshev this week. We'll stick with the Rambans on Hanukkah. First Ramban is one of the first Rambans in Parshas Bahalosra. All the way in Sefer Bamidbar. Parshas Bahalosra begins with Hashem commanding Aaron to light the candles of the menorah in the base of Mikdash. Bahalosra literally are when you go up to light the candles, or when you cause the candles to go up being lit. Rashi brings a fascinating medrash in the beginning. Lama nismacha parshas menorah l'chanukas hanesiyim. The parsha before Bahalosra is parshas naso. At the very end of Parshas Naso in Bamidbar, right? At the very end of Parshas Naso, what do we have? The Chanukas HaMizbeach of the Nesiyim. On Hanukkah, in fact, we read, I mean, some people have the minhag to read from the Parsha of the Nesiyim every single day of Hanukkah, one of the parts of the Chanukah. And at the very end of Naso, we hear how each one of them brought the following karbanos, the following gifts, to be dedicated to the Mishkan. Suddenly, Bahalosra begins with the mitzvah of Aaron lighting the candles in the Mishkan. What's the connection? Rashi quotes the Medrash, which says, Lama nismacha parshas menorah l'chanukas hamesiyim. Why were these two parshas connected? Why are they juxtaposed? Why are they next to each other? L'fi kishera Aaron chanukas hanesiyim. When Aaron saw the dedication of the Nesiyim, the leaders of the tribes, or the leaders of the Shvatim, and they each had given their dedication, chol shadaito, he felt bad. Shelo haya imahem b'chanukah. Lohu v'lo shivto. That neither he nor his Shevet Levi, was involved in the Chanukas HaMizbeach, in the Chanukas HaMishkan. Aaron felt terrible. How come I'm not involved? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Aaron, Chayecha shelcha kidola mishalahem. Yours is greater than them. She'ata mad likumetiv esaneros boker v'erev. Because you will have the privilege of lighting and cleaning out the candles of the menorah every single morning. Lashon Rashi, Mimedrash Agada. Ramban's quoting Rashi, quoting the Medrash. Medrash tells us, why is the Parsha of the Nesiyim at the end of Parshas Naso connected, juxtaposed, to the beginning of Parshas Bahalosra, which is where there's the commandment for Aaron to light the menorah in the base of Mikdash, in the Mishkan? Well, because Aaron felt terrible. Neither he nor his Shevet were involved in the Chanukas HaMizbeach, in the Chanukas HaMishkan, and therefore, he was feeling down on himself. He said, oh man, why can't I be a part of this? Hashem says, oh, by your life, you'll see that you have it even better off than they. You have the opportunity to light the menorah every single morning in the Mishkan, to clean it up. What is going on with this medrash? Velonis Barali, the Ramban says, it's not clear to me, Lama Nachamu Bahadlachas Aneros. Why was Aaron consoled? Why was he satisfied with the lighting of the menorah? Velo Nachamu B'Ketores Boker V'Erev Sheshvachu Ba'akasav Yisimu Ketorah Ba'apecha. Why did Hashem specifically choose the mitzvah, according to this medrash, of the lighting of the menorah to be the special consolation prize that Aaron was going to get for not being involved in the Chanukah? Don't worry, you have the candles of the menorah. Why not the ketores, which he brought every single day, which is known to be one of the most miraculous and special of all the different avodos? Why did he console Aaron with that? Only Aaron did that. U'b'chol ha-karbanos, and the fact that Aaron brought all the karbanos. Minchas Chavitin. You guys might not be aware of this, but do you know that the Kohen Gadol had his own special karban brought every single day? He brought his own mincha every single day. It was called the Minchas Chavitin. Your average Kohen would bring a special mincha on the first time when he would dedicate his service to the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen Gadol would do it every single day. Why wasn't Aaron consoled with the fact that he had this special mitzvah of bringing a Minchas Chavitin every single day? Uba Bodas Yom HaKippurim. And what about the avoda done on Yom Kippur, where Aaron gets to enter Lifnai v'Lifnim? None of the Nesiyim got to walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim to offer up the Ketores to Hashem over there to bring the special karbanos of the day of Yom Kippur, which is only kosher with the Kohen Gadol. What kind of weird consolation is this? Aaron's complaining. Says Hashem, Come on, why don't I get to be involved with Hanukkah like everybody else does? All these other Nisim, Hashem says, by your life, you'll see you have it even better. You have the privilege of lighting the menorah. What about everything else Aaron has? So that's question number one. Why was Aaron specifically consoled with this particular aspect? Like, what does the menorah have to do with anything? That's question one. Additionally, the Ramban shows us, what about the fact that Shehu Kadosh Hashem Omei Beheichalo Lisharso Levarach Bishmo Veshifto Kulo Misharso Elokeinu? What about the fact that Aaron, not just about all these particular details that he had the privilege of, Aaron was uniquely allowed to serve in the Mesa Mikdash. He is the Kohen, along with his tribe. Beforehand, he was feeling bad. How come Shevet Levi wasn't represented in the Hanukkah? They have the eternal service in the Mesa Mikdash. What are you complaining about, Aaron? Like, why did Aaron even feel bad? First of all, why didn't Hashem console him with any of these other things? Why was it specifically with the menorah? And second of all, why was Aaron even feeling bad in the first place? What was he missing that they had? They got to do this one little special thing, and Aaron got to have the future of the service in the Beis HaMikdash with him and his descendants. Why was Aaron even upset in the first place? Another fair question. Thirdly, V'od, Matam L'chalisha Sadas Hazu. Why was Aaron upset? Below carbon, no gadol mishon esiim, shehikrav biyamim haheim carbonos harbe kol yimei miluim. And if you'll say maybe it's about this special time, you know, this one beginning. Sometimes the beginning's worth more than all the future, right? Wow. Here they had the opportunity to go and bring the first carbonos on the Mizbeach. Not true. There were the shivas yimei miluim, where Aaron was uniquely bringing his own carbonos with his children, while Moshe was bringing them on his behalf, right? And Aaron was the guy that was offering up the carbonos for his own sake more uniquely and prior to all the Nisim. So not only is it weird that Hashem consoles him with the menorah, and not only is it weird that Aaron even is upset in the first place considering he has all the future, but even at this very time period, Aaron had the Shivas Yimei Meluim, the Nisim did not. Aaron had his own limelight, then. What is the deal with this medrash? As we're hopefully slowly getting used to, Ramban quotes Rashi quoting the medrash, which at first glance we're all familiar with, and we're like, oh, that sounds nice. And we think a little bit deeper. The Ramban shows us how to think even deeper than deep. And we're like, wait a second, that makes no sense at all. And now we're confused, but don't worry. You can count on the Ramban to make it all fit beautifully. Before he gets there, though, he says, I know what you're thinking. Jacob, Ty, somebody's thinking this. I know an answer. I have an answer, the Ramban says. I know what you're thinking. You're going to tell me there's a massive difference between being commanded to do something and having the opportunity to offer something on your own. You guys aren't married yet, but you will soon learn, Emir Tzashem, when you are married, that there's a huge difference between taking out the garbage on your own and being asked to take out the garbage. Okay, both times you took out the garbage. But if you did it as your own initiative to show that you love your wife, that you care about her, it's totally different than if she asked you to do her favor and you say, okay, you know what, I'm not going to be annoyed and not do it, so then you do it. World of difference. So maybe you'll tell me, maybe this is what some of you were thinking, and I know what you're thinking. You might tell me, well, the Nisim had the privilege of offering their own initiative. They, without being asked, offered these carbonos. And Aaron here was being commanded for all these different services. So maybe that's the difference. Ramban says, that's a good try, but Gamad Lakas Aneros, Shanachum Wuba, Chova, Benistava, Aleha. Okay, so maybe that's a good point that you're saying. Maybe to offer something on your own is more unique, it's more special than having to be commanded for something. Hold on 1 second. But then what was the consolation? The Medrash says that Hashem said, oh, don't worry, Aaron, yours is much greater. I see you're upset about that which the Nisim are doing. But don't worry, yours is much, much greater. Because I'm commanding you to light the menorah. So then he didn't get any sort of compensation. That totally defeated. If Aaron said, oh, you know what, in this case, I'm going to go and light the menorah or something like that. He had offered up his own thing, so then that would make sense. But here Hashem's commanding him. So if that's going to be the answer you're going to give, it's not going to work out because this is just followed by another command. Ramban has us in a pickle. We're in trouble. Okay, first question.
Yeah, the good thing in the Gemara and tradition says that's something that you're obligated to do.
Oh. It's hard to do then. That gadol mitzvah oseh, mini she'eino mitzvah oseh. That it's greater than. Tosafot there explains why is it better to be commanded in something? Why do you get more scar for being commanded in something than if you weren't commanded?
It's
Because, after all, it's harder for you because you are told to do something. The HR is fighting to prevent you from doing that. So you're right. On one level, Yisrael, in terms of schar, perhaps it's true. If you get more schar, more reward for doing something when you're commanded to, when you're not. But on the other hand, you certainly hear the idea that which one of them demonstrates a greater love? Doing something because you're told to do it, or because you took the initiative. So at least in terms of that potential answer, Ramban does have a point. You're right maybe about reward, but in terms of which one's a greater display of love, I think this is a true point. Yosef, any questions? Good. All right. Let's see how the Ramban analyzes this. Aval inyan ha-agada hazu. But the way to understand this agada, this allegory, this hashkafic medrash of Chazal, lidrosh remez min aparsha al chanaka shel neros shehayasa bebayis sheni aidei aruvanav. The understanding of this medrash is not about the day-to-day task of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan, in the base of medrash, but rather it's a reference to the future amazing Hanukkah, Hamizbeach, that would occur by Aaron's descendants, by the Chashmunah. Let's let the Ramban explain. Ratzoni lomar Chashmunai Kohen Gadol Ubanav. The great Chashmunai, Kohen Gadol and his children. Ubalashon Hazem, Matasiyah, B'Megillah Sarm, L'Rabbeinu Nisim. He quotes Rabbeinu Nisim Gon, and he explains how Rabbeinu Nisim understood this medrash. Re'izi b'medrash, kema jagrivim shnei maser shvatim, v'lo hekriv shevet levi, right, Aaron got upset, amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said l'moshe, daber al Aaron v'amarta ilav. Speak to Aaron and tell him the following. Yesh Chanukah acheres, sheyesh ba hadlakas aneros. There will be another Chanukah which has its own lighting of the candles. V'ani oseba liyisrael al yedei banecha, Nisim, Vitshua, Vachanuka, Shakuri al Shemam. And I will do amazing miracles and salvation for them and a rededication of the Mikdash. They'll be called on their name. Fihi, Chanukas B'nei Chashmunoim. And that's a reference to the B'nei Chashmunoim with the Chanukah story. Lefichach, Hismecha Parsha Zu, Leparsha Chanukas Mizbeach. So Rabbeinu Nisim understood it this way. And now the Ramban quotes one more medrash, or Isi Od B'Yamadenu, another ancient medrash, which we have in the Tanchuma. Vayim medrash Rabba, also found in medrash Rabba. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Leich emor l'aron al tisira. Don't be afraid. L'gdula mizos ata muchan. For something greater than this, you are designated for. HaKarbanos kolz manch b'yis amedrash kayam hei noagin. The Karbanos, which you're going to bring, that's only around while the Beis HaMikdash is around. But the candles, lo'olam el mol pnei amenorah iru. They will forever be lit. And all the brachos which I've given you to bless my sons will never be nullified. What's going on? V'nei davar yadua. The Ramban says, wait, hold on. It's obvious. It's known. K'she'ein meis amigdash kayim v'arvanos betalin. V'nei chorvano. Afaneros b'teilos. Wait a second. What does that mean, that the candles never are nullified? What does that mean? What's the Medrash telling us? The Medrash Rabbah. That the candles are never nullified? What do you mean? Once the carbonos are gone because the base of Medrash is destroyed, so are the candles, right? We don't light the menorah anymore, same way we don't bring our carbonos. So what does this Medrash mean? He explains, Avolo ramzu ela l'neros chanukas chashmonai. Rather, it's a reference, it's an allusion to the candles of the Chashmonam. Shehino Heges, Af la'achar Chorban Begoloseinu. That's the explanation of this message. It's not a reference to the menorah in the base of Migdash as much as it's a reference to the Hanukkah candles we are going to light next week. V'chein Birchas Kohanim. And what was the bracha that it was referencing? Birchas Kohanim. Not the brachas they would give in the base of Migdash, but rather Birchas Kohanim, which we, Baruch Hashem, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, which has now been proclaimed by the President of the United States as being the eternal capital, as if we did not know it. As Rabbeinu said earlier, once David HaMelech told us that it was our eternal capital, right? So, we see that every day we have the opportunity to be blessed by the Kohanim. The Kohanim give us their bracha even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We still have the bracha of the Kohanim. So the Kohanim are given something additional. They're given the menorah lighting, which was brought about by their salvation, which they brought because of their great drizos, and additionally, the blessing that they would bestow upon us even after it was destroyed. Now, I'll add one point before we delve deeper into the Ramban. The Ramban, at the end of the piece, he doesn't make this connection, but, you know, this is nofach shali. This is my own little addition, okay? The Ramban later on makes a point. He doesn't connect to this idea, but I think that this idea is very much connected. The Ramban notes, it's weird. This pasuk never mentions the words O'al Moed, that you light the menorah in the O'al Moed. And the Ramban says, because it's to teach us that is also done in the Beis HaMikdash, that Aaron would also have the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the base of Migdash, not just in the Oel Moed. Because you might have thought that it was only in the Ohel Moed where you have to light the menorah because there's no light, because there's no windows. So Ramban says, Kamash Malan, not only in the Ohel Moed, but even in the Beis HaMikdash, you need to light the menorah. It's not just about the light, it's about having the menorah lit. Ramban leaves it at that. But I think, reading this earlier Ramban, it's Pasha. Why doesn't the Pasuk mention anything about the Ohel Moed, that Aaron's going to go and light the candles in the Ohel Moed? Because it's not about lighting the candles in the Ohel Moed. It's about the eternal mitzvah of lighting the candles of the menorah, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside of it, that which we do, all of us, because of the great miracle that was brought about from Aaron's descendants. That's why the Pasuk doesn't want to specify the Ohel Moed. Rather, it's there to tell us about the Chanukah candles. Let's dig a little bit deeper into the Ramban. How's he answered his questions? Right? Why was Aaron consoled with the menorah? Why was Aaron so upset in the first place? Didn't he have all these other avodos? And moreover, didn't Aaron just have these special shivas yimei amiluim? Right? He had all the grandeur and all the greatness that these nesiim had had. And Hashem says, no, don't worry. Yours is greater. You have the lighting of the menorah. The Ramban says that lighting the menorah means the Chanukah candles. So how'd that answer anything? So I think it's clear that the Ramban is sticking with that first answer that he had suggested and then rejected. The Ramban believes that Aaron was upset because he didn't have the opportunity to display his initiative, his love, his profound desire to create a deep relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way that the Nesiim had. Of course he was commanded to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course he was commanded with the Karbanos, and he had his own Minchas Chavit, and he had his Shiva Sumei Amaluam. But still, he didn't have that opportunity to demonstrate to Hashem, yeah, Hashem, I know you expect these things of me, but I want to show you what I expect of myself, what I want to bring forward to you. And that is a very powerful idea. It's absolutely true. It has to be done in a halachic context. Every initiative must be done with bearing to halachic decision-making and that process. But nonetheless, there is certainly room for individuality in Judaism and for that seeking of a deep spiritual relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what Aaron felt like he was missing out on. So how are the Chanukah candles any sort of consolation for that? I think here, too, the answer is clear. Were the Maccabeim, were the Bnei Chashmonai commanded to do that which they did? Not at all. It was a reaction. It was a putting of their foot down. It was them saying, no more! We are not like these Hellenists who build their temple and their gymnasiums on our harabites and who bend every one of these values that we've held precious for thousands of years in the name of some modern social mores. Enough! This is not who we are. We seek true divinity, true Kirvas Elohim. That's what we want. That's who we are. That's our identity. And in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu summoned Shevet Levi to him after the Chet HaEgel and he said, Mila Hashem Eli, so did the Maccabeim. So did the Bnei Chashmonai. They said, who else amongst our people is here to stand up for our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Who here actually cares? They didn't receive a resounding hurrah, right? No, huzzah. It was just a few of them. And they fought back. They fought against an empire, and they succeeded. That was their own initiative. They stepped forward and sanctified Hashem's name in a way which was more profound than perhaps anything that had occurred in the past. And because of that great initiative on their part, Chazal instituted halachically a unique mitzvah to commemorate that zeal, that excitement, that desire to grow close to Kadosh Baruch. And that was the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah menorah, of the lighting of the Chanukah candles. And that's what this pasuk is alluding to. Aaron, you're so upset that you didn't have a chance to show your own zeal in dedicating the Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah. What is the language of Chanukah? Chanu, Chafei, they rested on Chafei, or else it's a Chanukah that they went and they rededicated the Beis HaMikdash. Again, of their own initiative, in their own unique profound manner. They demonstrated love that far surpassed that of the Nesiim. And moreover, it outlasted that of the Nesiim. The Nesiim was a fleeting moment. It lasted for those few days in history, and that was it. That of the Chashmonaim lasts to this very day. We have their miracle, their desire, their seeking of spirituality passed on to us for every single Jew, for every single generation that followed. And that is a profound consolation for Aaron. When he sees, oh, how come I didn't have this opportunity to step forward? Hashem didn't want my service here. How come they all had that opportunity? Hashem says, Chayecha, Aaron. Don't worry, you'll see. One day, your descendants, the Kohanim, they will sanctify my name in a greater fashion. And they will erect an everlasting monument to your desire to grow close to me. I think that that is a beautiful idea. And as we do a little bit of introspection prior to Hanukkah, we're about to go and light those candles. What are we thinking about here? Are we thinking about, okay, how do I quickly run back to the other things I wanted to do? I lit my candles and all right, I'm done, right? Move on in my life. Or do we take the opportunity to stare at those candles and appreciate what they represent? They represent, sometimes, you look at our society, and you feel despondent. You say, how could we sink any lower? How could society go any more mad? Everyone's crazy out there. They don't believe in anything. They don't stand for anything. They cling to nothing that in any way smacks of eternality. And we wonder how we can have any hope of surviving. And I believe, heard this from Ira Bayer, but I believe that the greatest miracle of Hanukkah, sorry, it's not the 8 days back then, nor is it even the amazing, miraculous defeat of an empire by the hand of a few, you know, meager troops, untrained Kohanim. But rather, I believe the true miracle is the fact that the spark and fire of Torah has survived, has outlasted that Greek culture, which seemed like it was going to overrun the world, and has continued to burn and burn and burn and burn. Unlike the little jug of oil, which was supposed to stop after a day and continue to then light for 8 more days, just as that lasted well beyond its normal expectations. Look how the Torah, which everyone wrote off Judaism and said we were never going to survive. Look how we are here today, still clinging to eternality, still clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we light those candles, we should have that in mind. We should appreciate the great miracle of our existence, of our leading meaningful lives in the 21st century, of our opportunity to study the Word of God every single day, to think His thoughts, to delve into true spirituality. Nothing could be more meaningful. Let's take the initiative which has now been manufactured into a specific halachic requirement. Let's make sure we still add that same zeal with which it was initially enacted. Let's make sure we add that spirituality to our own lives. Mir Tashema will be all off better for it.